Next, to a Wisdom Watch conversation. That's the part of the program where we talk to those who've made a difference through their work. And today, with the Australian Open in full swing, we decided to talk to a trailblazer in tennis. Before there was Serena, before there was Venus, there was Zena Garrison. She ranked number 4 in the world back in 1990. She was the first black woman to reach the Wimbledon finals since Althea Gibson did so in the 1950s. And Zena Garrison went on to become the first black captain of the U.S. Fed Cup team. Now she's here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. She stopped by to support one of the area's after-school programs for youth, especially those who might otherwise not have the opportunity to play tennis. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me here today.
I think a lot of people might not remember what it was like to play tennis before, to be a player in tennis before there was a Venus or Serena, somebody so visible on the scene. So yeah. I'd like to ask how you got involved with the sport.
Yeah, I actually had a very interesting story because my brother had a girlfriend that played tennis in high school and was actually playing baseball in the field behind the tennis courts. And I went out with him one day and was sitting down, didn't really want to be at the baseball field, and was sitting down at the tennis and saw these guys playing. One of the guys came over who became my coach, John Wilkerson in Houston, Texas, and asked me what was I doing. Just using up God's air. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. You know, I was kind of a cocky teenager, and I mean, a cocky young girl. And he asked me if I wanted to try the sport. So I went out and I hit the first ball over the fence, and I was like, yes, I did it. And he was like, no, you see the little white lines, you need to keep the balls in the white line. So I did. And I played for about 3 months, and then I got a brand new bike, so I started hanging out with my friends. And Bill Cosby, actually, the Jell-O pudding guy, actually came out and was giving a tennis clinic. And out of 100 kids, he picked me to hit with, and been playing ever since.
That's amazing.
You're so
I wasn't
funny.
Sure that was true. I had heard that story,
no, it's
but
very
I didn't believe
true.
It.
It's very true.
So Bill Cosby, well, you you won 14 singles championships, 21 doubles championships, 3 Grand Slam titles, a gold and a bronze medal in the 1980 Olympic Games in Seoul, South Korea, as well as, of course, endorsements. I would like to ask how you fared all those years when you were the only one. You were the only African-American player out on the scene. Of course, Arthur Ashe was playing before you, but he was a man. But some people have started talking about some of the stuff that they've put up with over the years that has not gotten a lot of attention, racial slurs and all kinds of stuff that isn't so attractive.
Yeah,
I'd like to ask what it was like for you.
Believe it or not, when I was playing, there was actually more African-Americans on the pro tour than there is now. I grew up, I think it was probably like 6, 7, maybe even 8 women players that were playing on the pro circuit. They were lowly ranked. But overall, in retrospect, it was very lonely, and there were some very difficult things that I went through. But I actually had a great group of people around me at all times that pretty much sheltered me from a lot of things. There were definitely some rough times in my career, and every time I went on that court, I was not just battling for myself, I was battling for my race as well, and I understood that because I had a lot of role models ahead of me that made it very clear that I was a pioneer and that I was supposed to, you know, act as one.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having a Wisdom Watch conversation with Zena Garrison. She was the first black woman to reach the Wimbledon final since Althea Gibson did so in the 1950s. She's a trailblazer, of course, in tennis. She won 14 singles championships, 21 doubles championships, among other accomplishments. One of the things that I noticed about you is that you've been involved in community things for years. And I was wondering why that was. I mean, there's that famous Charles Barkley quote, which has been oft repeated, which is, I'm not a role model. You know, your parents are role models. But you are very consistent, have been since your playing days. I'm wondering where that comes from and why that matters so much to you.
For me, it's a two-part. My family is pretty much like that. And quick little story. I remember my mom throwing one of my good coats outside because somebody needed a coat to wear, and showed up at our door, and I remember saying to my mother, like, well, what about me? She's like, we can get another one. You know, the person's cold, needs another coat. And the other part of it is my coach, John Wilkerson, in order for us to have free tennis lessons, we had to teach others how to play in the summer. He has always instilled in me to give back. And I was one of the first persons on the tour to start any city I went to, I did a tennis clinic because I understood how important it was. I am who I am. And so giving back has always been a part of me.
The money has increased in tennis, though, tremendously.
Oh,
since
I wish I would have came now.
I was going to ask you that. Do you look at that and you think, whoa, no, I mean, you didn't do badly. I mean, you earned a couple million dollars in earnings. But in fact, now, for women,
that in 4 months.
Well, first of all, the earnings for women were not as large when you were playing. And the endorsements were not as lucrative as they are now. And I wonder if you ever think,
definitely from the endorsement.
I could buy a Bentley.
Maybe a bunch of purses, which is my little
handbags. That's your
thing. Yeah. But it's just really overall just the money that's in the sports. And, you know, I went 5 years being in the top five in the world and not having any endorsements. I mean, so just that alone, I sometimes think about.
Do you think that's because of your race?
It definitely back then was, for sure. I mean, I have footage. I've seen written things where I can't sell to, quote unquote, Wall Street or the market or whatever. But things have changed. And so overall, I was just very blessed to be in a sport that has just transcended women in general.
It wasn't all peaches and cream. And in fact, one of the things that I've appreciated about you is that you've talked about eating disorders at a time when very few people, public figures were talking about it. Certainly very few African-Americans were talking about it. Yeah. If you don't mind my asking, how are you doing now? You look great.
I am actually doing very well.
How did you realize you had a problem?
Well, first and foremost, it was very prominent on the women's tour. But it's funny or not, I actually picked up from a cousin who was a model in California. She's the one that kind of got me into the whole thing. And I don't really like to go into it.
But why did you do that? Why? Was it because you felt you didn't like how you looked? Or what do you?
It really wasn't
was
a thing. It was more feeling like that was the one thing that I control. You know, my mom died at 19 when I was 19. And for me, agents and all of this and everybody coming, it was the one thing that I could control. You know, I did a lot of therapy. And what people don't realize is that I had probably a 5-6 year period in there when I was actually doing okay, that I had a serious inner turmoil with bulimia at that time. And I remember beating Chris Evert, the guy on NBC. I just won the clay court tournament down in Amelia Islands, Florida. And the guy said, oh, you know, your skin looks a little off. Okay. He said something like, I had blotches, and basically it was from the whole bulimia thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's a skin something. I came up. But before I went out, I know I ate some broccoli, and I got rid of it before I went on the court. So I just had an interesting life, and I've always been really real with myself and wanted to tell others. Because there are people that are going through something. And, you know, if I can help one other person, then I feel very blessed in being able to do that.
Well, thank you for coming. You've been very generous with your time.
You.
We always like to ask if you have any wisdom to share.
I think the biggest wisdom that I have to share right now is to stay faithful to yourself. Stay faithful to your family and your friends, and your blessings will come.
Zena Garrison is an international tennis champion, founder of the Zena Garrison All Court Tennis Academy. She was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Coming up, can the subject of health care really lend itself to an entertaining stage play? Actor Anna Deavere Smith says yes, and sold-out audiences say yes as well.
I think of it more broadly as about the vulnerability of the human body, the resilience of the spirit, and the price of care.
Healthcare on stage in a one-woman play. That's just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.